welcome to Have Movies Will Game, the only podcast on the globe where we take you, our friendly listener, through the best and worst movies of yesterday and today, and then discuss ways that you can play them at your gaming table. But the fun doesn't stop there, no siree! Every few episodes, our intrepid hosts Matthew, Dusty, and Nathaniel will ask you, the listener, to vote on which movie they will play as an RPG, recorded in video and in glorious black and white, and brought to you through the electronic wonder of the internet. Now, let's start the show!
Hey everybody, welcome to Have Movies Will Game. This is Nathaniel, your co-host and editor. What you're about to listen to is a very special bonus episode that we put together from the outtakes of our 2017 episode run. We've got almost a full 2 hours of extra content here, from hilarious gag reels to tangential stories of our lives, as well as a number of our announcer's alternate takes, which we never got the chance to use, but they were too good, so I kind of wanted to share them with somebody at least. We hope you enjoy listening to this as much as we enjoyed recording it, and we wish you and yours a happy holiday and a most excellent new year. Thanks again for listening.
Oh, okay. We should probably do this. We should probably start. Cheese. There is not a cheese that gives bad breath. Cheese is always a plus.
Roquefort.
That gives really bad Limburger. Breath.
Limburger. I would lick Roquefort's sweaty butthole.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Doesn't he always play villains?
He played fucking Gandhi.
Oh. Yeah, doesn't he always play villains?
Sorry.
It was too good of a... I just had to let it roll there.
You know, honestly, most of his roles he seems to play...
We just lost India. Villains. My brain is moving too fast.
Watching Nathaniel, like his facial expressions and hearing that, it was like William Shatner getting a blowjob.
Yeah. That is harsh. Not you.
I know. It's the
I'm
old,
talking
the old
about
daddy.
My old grandpappy here. Oh, yeah. I really am tired of being on the D.
Hood rat, squishy mama.
Whenever I watch anything now, if it's a movie or a television show, I always have Wikipedia open. Because certain things, they just get me. I'm like, I just got to know. I got to know if I should be emotionally invested in this character. Or I got to know something. Or, oh my God, I've totally seen that guy. Pause. Wikipedia.
Look it up.
And then
just
I find myself
movie.
In a 15-minute wiki hole thinking, oh shit, I should get back to watching the movie.
I try not to break my suspension of disbelief during the movie. I watch the movie and one hand is jotting, which is why my notes look like
the
this.
The movie you should never, ever, 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 ever watch. Is X versus Sever.
Okay, I can guarantee I won't.
X versus
Sever. I've never even heard of it.
Ballistic. It is literally been rated the worst movie ever made. It's got Antonio Banderas.
Wait. Worse than Manos, The Hands of Fate?
Yeah. Worse than Zardoz?
Yes.
Zardoz. I like Zardoz.
There is no emotional connection. It is
worse than The Room?
Yes. Worse than all of those.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
I don't know, Dan.
No, it was,
and that's where REM died. I'm very proud of what I do. I run the cleanest, filthiest strip club in Portland. Feel free to suck 16 dicks. Like if someone was choking off the shaft, that's what the head would look like.
Oh, but sneakers is. Hold on, I actually have a note for this.
They're like trainers or tennis shoes, but different.
You wouldn't believe how many times I put in like in the browser bar sneakers. Film and it still came up like the top hits were like Air Jordans, Adidas,
Nike
the
movie.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, I want the fucking movie.
When I lived in Atlanta back in my 20s, I was really into cider.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I hated beer. And our listeners from our previous set of bonus content may recall a particular story about Diet Coke and becoming a fan of it because it was all that was available. Mm-hmm. That's how it was with beer eventually after I moved to Portland. Because before Portland, I was like, cider, cider, cider. I only drank cider. I hated beer. After moving here, everybody's like, oh, well, come to our party. We have 8 different IPAs on the keg. Like, God damn it. And then I had to become an IPA fan. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had anything to drink.
You know what I said about that once before already? That's fucking Stockholm syndrome. That's
essentially, it's Stockholm syndrome of beer.
Yeah, I don't like beer, all that. I'll drink it if I want to have a drink and that's really the only thing around. I drank Corona in when I lived in Phoenix with a lime in it, turn it upside down and let the lime go to the top. So I have no idea what that's supposed to do.
I never had Old Granddad until I came into your house.
Yeah, right. Same here.
And this was the first time we met to talk about a game that we were going to do on this table that had nothing to do with this podcast. Mm-hmm. This was like almost a year ago.
Yeah. That was the game.
And you were
game.
Like, hey, this is my place. Have some more granddad.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That's how I meet people. It's you know how if a cat likes you and thinks you're not doing it right, it'll bring you a bird?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of me.
So you're like, oh.
I'm the alcoholic
version of that. So you're also.
I like you, but I think you're doing it wrong. So here's some old granddad.
So your nasty dead bird is a shot of old granddad?
Yeah. All right. As long as we're going down this old granddad rabbit hole and no one's making hurry up motions at me, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Old
I'm
granddad
doing a choking sound right now.
Does not taste good.
No.
I'm fully aware of that. However, as it hits the stomach, mm-hmm. it infuses you with a rosy red glow, not unlike Christmas as a child.
You know, that's the feel of the parasites actually dying in your stomach.
No, that's the health potion from Final Fantasy.
It's interesting that you say a medical thing and you say health potion because there were three bourbons during mm-hmm. the olden times of Prohibition that were allowed to sell themselves medically.
Yeah, and this is one of them.
And Old Granddad is medicinal bourbon.
Cocaine was medicinal back in the day. You don't see that on the shelves, and it shouldn't be.
It seems to have done okay for Sherlock Holmes.
See, when I was 15, 16 years old, it was right when I got my first vehicle, and it was this big 1973 Dodge Power Wagon, right? I mean, and most of the people that I knew that had trucks like that were of the cowboy persuasion,
yeah.
and the country persuasion in high school. And I remember being told, Dust, you got a truck. You're going to get all the girls. You got to wear like country.
Hey, baby, I got a truck.
And this was right around when Garth Brooks was wearing like all those like, you know, turquoise, blue and red and yellow, weird colored, you know, weird mm-hmm. patterned shirts.
American flags?
No. But I did squeeze my then size like 50 ass into size like 44 inch jeans and got a pair of boots.
Did you look like the kid from Superbad? At the end of the movie?
Worse.
Oh, God.
Worse. It was like kind of like Tommy Boy. It's like fat man and a little coat.
I actually just thought of something while you were telling this story. A little light bulb went off in my head when mm-hmm. I thought about my first car. Some of you might know what I do for a living. But my first car was an 84 Dodge Ram van that my dad had made into a camper.
Nice.
It had a queen size bed in the back.
Oh, wait. So kind of like Rodham's Prime?
No. It had a...
No, this is a conversion
like
van. Yeah.
She's trying to bring it back, yeah.
No, God, no. Bite your tongue. But it had a queen size bed in the back, and you could cover up all the windows with curtains. And having that as a first car may have made me into what I am today.
Was that a conversion van?
Yeah, those are conversion
Ooh,
vans.
Yeah. Ooh,
No. This was just a work van that he had converted himself.
So it was like a literal conversion van.
Yeah,
he converted it himself.
He was a master carpenter. It looked gorgeous inside. It looked like a ship's berth.
One of my dreams is to get like a 70s swinger van. With a
Craigslist,
wizard.
Baby.
I want a wizard painted on the side of it. And
oh, yeah, you do.
Mm. But it's got to have one of those single
round
porthole windows.
Yeah. Yeah. With the sliding door. You have to have the sliding door. Not the emergency door on the side, but you have to have the sliding door.
My neighbors have one.
Mm-hmm.
I walk past their house every single day.
Mm-hmm.
They have this beautiful, it's up on lifts, mm-hmm. and it's not moved in the 6 years that I've lived there.
They'll take an offer on it.
They are really old.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the man leave the house. I've actually seen him come out into the yard, sit in his big ass, like Lincoln or whatever it mm-hmm. is that he has, sit in there with the car running, listening to music.
Just remembering the good old days.
And then he goes back inside. And I've seen the lady that lives there. She's this pleasant, really friendly lady. She is meticulous about her front yard, which is
old
full.
Old people often are.
Which is full of colorful rows of different flowers. And it's actually very well taken. I see her out there all the time. Hmm. Next time I walk by, hey, how much for the van?
You should.
I like Kevin Costner.
How?
He's a good actor.
What?
He is. I mean, he is a good actor. It's just he's had shit movies like Waterworld.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first 50 shit movies, I mean, those you can forgive. Oh, the second 20. Come on.
People, help me out here.
I just want to say that the great state of me does not negotiate with terrorists. Dusty, back to you.
So, I don't know how old granddad is going to mix with cider. Don't give me too much of that stuff. I want to see. Is that... Oh, my. I don't know what's going to happen. I would like to apologize for old granddad.
It's like from Doctor Who, the part with Matt Smith, you know, he gets angry. He says, adulteration. I get angry. I don't know what's going to happen.
Boy, did that guy take a while to grow on me.
You know what? It can't be anything as bad as Nathaniel's red wine and Coke.
Disgusting. Oh, God. All right. Wait.
Stop. Don't drink it yet, because I want to get an Instagram video for this. So hang on. Hang on just one second.
I don't want to do this.
Wait, what are you drinking again?
Coke and wine?
No, God. I'm not a savage. Something that McMenamin's was nice enough to give us. Some fucking growler of blackberry.
Be nice.
Mixed with.
Old granddad.
I may not survive this. Brigitte, you can have everything.
And there it goes down the hatch.
Oh, God. All things dark and unholy. No, don't do that. If you're listening to this, if you're hearing my final words, don't ever do that.
Make it stop. This is not my pretty face. Oh, no, that wasn't for the camera. That was disgusting. Oh, God.
So to clean the horrible taste out of his mouth, he just took a swig of LaCroix, I'm assuming strawberry, because the can looks like strawberry colored.
Cranberry.
And then what flavor of vape are you using?
Pear and gummy bear, like a man. Who made that suggestion?
That would be me.
Oh, and you like Kevin Costner. Okay, I see how this works. You just like shit.
And it's not old granddad.
I was going to say, isn't it appropriate to say titties and bourbon?
Because my password is G-O-D and I'm in the Gibson, motherfucker.
You know, it's the keyboard. I've always wanted that keyboard from that movie. Pong, 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 as he's
God,
typing.
With that making the noise. They always make noises. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's how you can tell the cool hacker.
They didn't do
hacker.
It in sneakers. The typing didn't make any special.
It was just the tapping noise. Just the normal.
But if you watch any shows today or any movies, when somebody's typing, there's always that on-screen noise as well.
Yeah.
Everybody who uses computers turns that shit off immediately.
Yep.
That's how you can tell that they're not real computer users.
Or even with a phone, having the tick, tick, tick,
yeah,
tick,
turn
tick,
that tick, off. Tick, tick, off.
Yeah, I swear a lot, so I would like to attempt to describe this movie without swearing, just by using...
This is going to be a really long episode, then.
Everyday normal words. And I have to say, this movie had the potential to be so good. But
it did.
What it ended up being, and here's where I'm going to sub in something that's not swearing... is a fermented menstrual chunk.
Twilight was a better love story than Valerian. Okay.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Oh, do you now,
deny?
A girl walks in with
wasting a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
All right. That's great. That song pops into my head about once a week.
Yeah, it's part of my work. Yeah.
I have friends that want me to do that at karaoke, and they vowed to get me drunk. So, because I will do it, but I have to have a number of drinks in me.
I absolutely loathe karaoke.
I'm a diva at karaoke.
Yeah, but everyone else who's drunk.
I'm actually okay. So this isn't.
I just stick to Tom Petty songs.
I'm pretty good at karaoke.
No, he is. I've been with him a couple of times. He's pretty good.
But I can only do. There's only three rap songs that I can do. That's not one of them. I can do Handlebars by Flobots.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a sad song.
So are you just saying that you can do anyone who sings flat?
No, because I have to learn the song. Huh. But Handlebars I can do. Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood, I can do that one. And everybody's favorite, the Humpty Dance.
And flat again.
And I've many, many times tried and failed to do that one until I mastered it. Oh, and Pussy Control. But that's Prince. It's not really rap, but he does have that staccato beat. What do you mean by flat?
Oh, Humpty Dance is fairly flat.
Oh, yeah, it's rap. Voice. It's rap, right?
No. Flat is pertaining to the voice of the singer.
Yeah.
Like Think Cake. Cake sings very flat.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Fat Mike, no effects, sings very flat.
Yeah. No effects, definitely.
Yeah.
Wow. That was my first introduction to the concept of the German train gun.
Oh, yeah. Those huge howitzer-looking things.
And then it's like, I became obsessed with it. Not as like a gun nut or anything. I just thought, this is a cool thing, and I want to put it into every kind of weird period game I ever run.
Yeah. Then when we figured out how to steal videos, we stole the shit out of this.
Oh, yeah. My dad set up the dual VCRs.
Yeah.
And put in the
with
tape.
With the delay?
And, yeah. The side tangent on that. One of the first movies he tried to do was Back to the Future, and it has the tape guards where it goes black to color. He hated that. So, yeah, you had to get around it.
Oh, my version was taped off of AMC, so.
Mm. Oh, nice. Okay.
I never did that with videos, but I did that with video game rentals, but I got actually kind of dastardly with it. I would rent the games, like the Sega Genesis mm-hmm. and the Nintendo games, and I had a special multi-tool. Mm-hmm. I would take them home. If I liked it, I would pop open the cartridge, take out the circuit board, mm-hmm. replace it with a like fucking Duck Hunt or something, pop that back in, and return it. Then I would also get my money back.
That is a dick move. That's not stealing from a corporation. That's stealing from a small business.
I was like 13, and it was the coolest thing in the world.
So I'm going to admit here.
He just said most people, last episode, he said most people are lawful good. Now I would,
teenagers aren't.
I'm gonna have to revise my opinion of you, Nathaniel.
I will. You're gonna have to revise your opinion of me too, because when I was probably 13, 14 years old, I would ride my then very fat ass on my bike like 5 miles to the mall. And I would buy a video game from Babbage's, if you guys remember that computer store.
Fucking Babbage's.
So, and then I would ride my bike home. I would install it on my computer, and I would keep the manual because it was you must put in this word from this page, and then ride back and say the manual wasn't in the box.
Dusty, that's terrible. And you're calling me a criminal. No, wait.
No, that would be me.
Hold on. Sorry. Dusty, that's awesome. Matthew, sorry. You wouldn't be cool enough to hang with the bad boy club over here.
That's all right.
This is Dusty on mic number 4.
This is Matthew on mic number 1.
This is Scott on mic number 3.
And this is me on mic number 2. Here
again
that I've cared about.
Let's put this one straight into the bloopers. Hi, audience. Matthew fucked right the fuck up. Here's a pro tip while podcasting, kids. Don't go with your oldest laptop running Windows 7. Luckily, we had Nathaniel backing it up.
Matthew, do you need to take a large swig of that old granddad?
I already did, sir. I am a bit ahead of you. Fuck, I'll do it again.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah, when I drink. It's gone. 80 proof will kill germs, so if you're drinking that whipped cream vodka, you're going to die. It is not antiseptic. But what do you think of the tattoo?
Oh, I do like the idea of you getting...
On the Patreon, if someone does that and actually pledges $1,000, I will get their initials.
I'm going to laugh when there's going to be like 8 or 9 people that pledge
on my
that
game
much.
Rolling arm. Actually, not only that, I have already cleared it with my significant other.
Here's what I think we should do. Instead of having somebody pledge $1,000, we could make it so if we reach $1,000, hear me out. We could make this part of a game. We could gamify this. If we reach $1,000, at that point, we take somebody from our producer's level, the vanity pledge, and then we take the list of all the people in the producer's level, randomly roll one of them. And that one gets tattooed.
I have a D1000.
Tell us about your tattoo, Scott.
Oh, my tattoo is a 1960s logo of Dr. Pepper.
With 10, 2, and 4.
With 10, 2, and 4 on it.
Tell us about 10, 2, and 4. What does that mean?
10, 2, and 4 is when you drink Dr. Pepper in the, I'm guessing the early 1900s, I guess. I should know, but I don't. But they did a study. There was a study published. It said your energy levels go down at 10 and 2 and 4. And so Dr. Pepper ran an ad saying, pep up with Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4.
42 grams of sugar will do that.
Mainline that sugar,
And caffeine.
So, and caffeine. So Pep Up with Dr. Pepper, 10, 2, and 4. Doctor recommends, and that's how, you know, and they have that little doctor with the top hat.
Was there ever actually a doctor?
A Dr. Pepper? No.
No.
Well, the doctor also recommended Coke, but it also had cocaine in it.
There was a guy named Dr. Pepper that the stuff is named after, but he had nothing to do with the creation of the drink.
I've been lied to my whole life.
He was like the father of the girl that the guy liked.
Well, that's how you get the girl to like you, I guess.
Yeah.
What, lie to them?
Name your internationally successful soft drink after her dad.
Well, it was,
hey, baby, I'm going to name the soda drink after your dad. You want to come on?
You know, we actually have a guest in our studio quietly playing video games in the corner. So I'm gonna pose this to you. Hey, Jessica. Yeah. If I was to come on to you in a totally inappropriate way, being as how we're coworkers and whatnot, if I said to you, Jessica,
you got to come over and get on the mic. Come on. Just pause it.
If I named a soda after your father, what do you think my chances would be of you and I hooking up?
That's a little weird.
It's slim to none, right?
You clearly feel guilty about something and trying to.
All right, so now we have to figure out what's wrong with this Dr. Pep, this doctor, air quotes.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Jessica. Pepper, that he thinks that's how you win a woman's affection.
Right. It's a lot more innocuous than that. It's a really boring story.
I have a damaged brain. That's how I think.
I think we all have damaged brains.
We're making it a lot more mystical than it probably is.
Yeah. Yeah. When sodas were created, when Dr. Pepper was created, soda jerks had dozens and dozens of little flavors that they could put in their drinks. And they often had their own little recipe books that they would make. Like, oh, two shots of this, one shot of that, blah, 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 blah. And then they would name them something. And this particular concoction was named
Dr. Pepper.
It's more
like a barista named after a girl who he was trying to impress.
Yeah, it was like a barista naming a coffee drink.
Right,
after.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he
sorry,
has
Jessica,
like,
sorry about the creepiness. It wasn't about, it apparently it, wasn't that creepy.
That's a very good example. So, like, you have, like, 20, 30, you know, local drinks or whatever, yeah, or a bartender naming, you know, some drink after, you know.
Not everyone can be margarita.
So, that's it. And it just became popular, and so the name stuck.
All right, cool.
I think real quick, this whole Dr. Pepper thing reminded me of something in high school. I think it
was probably, that 20 years ago
yes,
today?
It was. No, it wasn't. Oh, fuck you.
Dr. Pepper taught the band to play.
No, so I was in theater. And there was one of the young ladies that was like an up and coming actress in our group. She was sitting on near the pit, and it was like in the theater, it's always cold. And these are like you hear horrible come on lines like in high school, you cringe, and they're like this was one of the worst,
especially in drama club.
Oh, I know. Oh my god. No, so one of my buddies was like really into this young girl, and she's sitting there. She's like, "Oh my god, it's so cold in here." And I remember him very very vividly saying, "How can you be so cold when you're so hot?"
Oh, that's bad. That's not good. Nathaniel, do you have a bad pickup line?
A bad pickup line?
Yeah.
Yes.
What you got?
So what's your mom do for a living?
Does something she does X.
I used that pickup line. It was inspired. I technically stole that pickup line from a buddy in college who had developed it as the perfect pickup line. No. Was it college? No, it's high school. Oh, my God. I haven't thought about this guy in years. This guy in high school. Who I kind of really thought was fucking cool, and I wanted to be him. So he told me this pickup line, and I was like, "I'm going to use that too." It didn't work.
I was
going to
say,
well,
did it ever
really
work?
I always go with wide-eyed sincerity. I actually don't have a pickup line. Mine's like, "Hi, my name is Matthew. You look interesting. Would you like a drink?"
My pickup line these days.
I wish I had a phrase that would be better.
I don't have one.
I don't think I've
actually.
Hi, my
name is Matthew Dusty. You look interesting.
Because I'm fucking interesting. Sure.
I haven't. I'm equal opportunity to tried drinks. To pick anybody up in decades. I've been trying my success with OK Cupid and stuff, and it's worked.
Have you met Dusty?
Wait. It's like I'm seeing you for the first time.
Oh my god.
It's biblically. Almost like I'm staring at you
directly
in Klingon.
Across.
All right.
All
right. We have.
Yeah. I knew that was going to come back to me. I knew that was going to come back to me.
I'm actually going to do a quick dump of this because this is all blooper.
I was going to say, if anybody ever wants to talk about Dragonlance, I will happily go down that rabbit hole for hours upon hours upon hours.
You're shaking your head.
I don't like Dragonlance. Tolkien non-like classic fantasy literature book I ever read was The War of the Twins.
The War of the Twins? Yeah, it's the second set.
Okay,
yeah,
so when was the last time you tried to read them?
I usually read them about every 5 years. I read the first six books about every five years.
They don't hold up.
Our generation pretty much cut their teeth on fantasy on Tolkien. I couldn't stand Tolkien.
David Eddings.
David Eddings was one of my favorites.
I could not stand Tolkien.
Everybody around me, why are you reading Dragonlance? It's just a cheap knockoff of Tolkien. You should read Tolkien. And I'm like,
you know how parents program their children.
They weren't stupid. But.
As children with values and religion and whatnot. My dad read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings over the course of 3 years to me, starting at age 7.
Okay.
So that was my programming growing up. I love Tolkien.
That's fine.
I love everything about Tolkien.
No, I have a buddy in Phoenix that he will run the table on anybody with Tolkien. His favorite thing is the Silmarillion, or however you pronounce it. Exactly.
You unwashed heathen savage.
And he will run the table on you.
You say that, but...
Oh, my earliest stuff was actually Piers Anthony, the Xanth stuff.
Oh, me too.
I never got into Piers Anthony.
And
they're bad, but
they're
funny.
They're bad, and they had
punny.
Yeah, but they also, like, even not just the Xanth stuff, but all his stuff has this, like, teenage nudity in it. You know, it's always like, ooh, there's a boob.
A buddy of mine told me about that.
Well, as a teenager, I thought that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. As a 14-year-old, it's amazing.
Red Rocket. That, oh, jeez. You're really bringing dog penis into this? Damn, dude. Terry Pratchett filled that niche for me growing up. And if I had to choose between Piers Anthony and Terry Pratchett, I'm going to go with Terry Pratchett.
Well, no, there's no choice. I don't think you should have to choose. It's more like where you started. For me, it was David Eddings. Actually, no.
David Eddings.
For me, it was John Stiekley in a book called Armor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, that's not fantasy.
But
that
was the first fantastic
book
that I ever read in my life on my own.
I walked into
a B. Dalton Booksellers. I walked in and I was like, all right, cool. My mom gave me $10. I'm going to buy a book.
Which then you could buy three books.
Then I just walked down the aisle and picked the one that looked the coolest, and it had a dude holding a rifle like a club.
I have
club.
That copy.
I have that
I have
too.
It. Yeah.
Beating an ant
monster. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was amazing, and it turned out to be a fantastic book.
Oh, it is. It's, to this day, it's one of the seminal works of science fiction. Mm-hmm.
That's actually how I came into Dragonlance. I was at a flea market with my mom, and I saw the first three books of Chronicles, and I love the artwork.
Autumn Twilight, or something?
Yeah, Dragons of Autumn Twilight, Dragons of Winter Dawn, Dragons of Spring Dawning. And the artwork is done by Larry Elmore, who is a
prolific
artist for TSR. And I picked up that set, and then right next to it, this was like a birthday present. My mom was like, I'll get you a few books because you fucking read a lot. I got that set, and then next to it was Robert Jordan's Eye of the World. It had just been put out. So I was like, okay, I'll get this also. To this day, I still haven't read Eye of the World.
You guys know how I'm a colossal pervert in my professional and personal life, right?
Here comes.
No. I'm just saying.
Jessica's over there laughing.
I read of heavy metal fame Den before I read Piers Anthony.
Den.
Before I read anything by Dragonlance, because that was just sitting around in
heavy
my
metal
house.
Was off limits. My mom was like, "Nope."
My
parents weren't like that. Yeah. They were like, "If it's splashing blood everywhere, we should probably wait. But sex is natural."
See, my parents were the opposite. If it was like blood everywhere and like bones and dismembered people, oh no, go ahead, it's fine. But
I gotta tell you, as my parents said, everyone has nipples.
So I want to bring this back to the game, but I want to close out. I just remembered what the first non-Tolkien fantasy I ever read. I was forced to read The Hobbit as a kid in school, so I don't really think that counts. The first one I ever read on my own that was fantasy was a book by, it was called Dragon Doom. It was written by a fellow named Dennis L. McKiernan.
And I know the author. I don't.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
So McKiernan is actually quite prolific.
Yeah.
The story is he wrote his first set of novels as what he wanted to publish as an extension of the Tolkien saga.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tolkien house was like, nope. So he kind of renamed some things and made it his own. And then he turned it into his own world, which a lot of people say is kind of a rip on Tolkien. But for me, that's why I read it, because I want more of that style of fantasy. Mm-hmm. I don't care if these are just reskinned hobbits and those are whatever. I read it because I'm like, okay, well, nobody else does what Tolkien did in the style that he did with that kind of heartwarming, brutal fantasy. Yeah.
As long as most of this is getting cut, I'm because it's not gaming, I'm going to go ahead and toss something of my own in. Has anyone else remember Michael Moorcock?
Oh, yeah.
Elric of Melini Bone?
So yeah. You want Moorcock?
If it's by him, fuck yeah, I do.
I'll take all he has to give.
He does work in the smut industry.
Honestly, those I came across those very early. I would say right about when you all were reading Xanth, I was reading The Warhound and the World's Pain and Elric.
Yeah, I didn't read Xanth, remember?
Well, I'm proud of you, buddy.
I never read anything by Moorcock.
Oh, still?
Yeah, I haven't.
Oh, I have books for you before you leave today.
Oh, God. I've already got the Musketeers.
Well, read faster.
It reads fast. I mean, it's well done. Once you get into the cadence, it reads it. Because it's a certain, you know, metered.
Oh, really?
Not really metered like Shakespeare, but he has, you know, his style, just like Eddings
has
a style.
Adventure.
So yeah, so he has his little style,
yeah.
and it flows along really well.
We've had this conversation before. You're a fan of Fritz Leiber, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, were you aware that Fritz Leiber and in real life Michael Moorcock were fantastic friends? They used to drink and drive.
I would
all over town. Well, Fritz Leiber would tell these weird Shakespearean stories that his dad used to do on stage, and they would drink and they would drive and throw gin bottles at people.
This sounds like they're related to Oliver Moore. Or
Oliver Reed. Let's bring it back to the game.
Let's take a quick pause.
One of the things that I didn't actually get a touch on earlier was that the director had come off just prior to this movie. He had come off of being the director for The Beatles, A Hard Day Night, and Help.
That's another. Yes. Those are both.
I know where you're going with this, too.
But what you might not know is that the production company initially wanted the Beatles to play the Four Musketeers.
Thank God they did not.
Yeah, and it was dropped. They stepped out of it, but Lester was like, I'm going to go ahead and continue this. He also did Robin and Marian, which was a couple years prior. He did Superman 2 after Richard Donner stepped out.
Really?
And he did Superman 3 as a follow-up.
Was that the Richard Pryor one?
That's the Richard Pryor.
We can forget about that one. He did 2, though.
Yeah,
he did 2.
He did 2 after Donner stepped away for creative differences.
So
Superman 2, Spider-Man 2, both superior movies. You know. Sorry, I just had to throw that
in. Okay.
So I do have a quick thing, because I'm going to forget this later. Why was that woman trying to drop money into his hand at the very beginning?
Because they are all gigolos.
All of them?
All of them.
They are paid men. Yeah, they are.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I need money for my horse. I need money for this. And then she gets status back for... Yeah. It was actually a custom of the French courts at the time. It's really quite interesting the more you get into it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In the book, Porthos and Aramis... Are that way. D'Artagnan and Athos are. Athos doesn't need it. He's a count. He just buys his own stuff.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Layers upon layers.
Layers upon layers.
I've done too much of history of the time. Yeah. I mean, there's the time of men providing is a... It hasn't always been in nobility. Can I just be man and piggish for a second? Dear God.
You work in the smut industry.
Dear God. God, she was gorgeous in that movie.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
There are some scenes in this movie, I think, that could have been trimmed down just a little bit.
Though. No, the slapstick is essential.
But the whole traveling across the country thing, the people
falling out of the trees as they went by, that was great.
No, the way back. The Musketeers doing that whole rickshaw thing or whatever on the way back. It's like, this is just unnecessary.
Palanquin, yeah.
The Palanquins.
That whole part, yes. But they had to show they were alive again and moving.
Well, they could have just showed that at the end of the movie like they did.
No. Otherwise, we left them wounded. And all of a sudden, they're there. That was necessary, but they could have done that
quicker. No, we actually showed them back alive together at the carriage
house. At the well.
And they all they were drunk, not wounded.
Well, drunk, very
drunk and wounded. They were wounded, but it was quite clear that they had recovered from their wounds enough to get drunk and party together.
I thought it was good. I am not a fan of Mel Gibson, incidentally. I'm not.
Mel Gibson or Kevin Costner? Take your pick.
No, I can have both.
If you had to watch one and nothing
You've already questioned my alignment. My hate is fucking strong.
Come on. You can do it.
No, no, no. I loved him in Hamlet, though. I thought he was...
Then Mel Gibson it is. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Like, so if I had to choose between Mel Gibson and Kevin Costner...
This is what I was asking.
Like, lever over a lava pit?
Yep, yep.
Mel Gibson lives, despite you know, despite like the anti-Semitism nonsense. Yeah.
It's funny. Just on acting chops. Just on acting chops.
Oh, certainly Mel Gibson on acting chops.
It's funny
Kevin Costner in the lava, grease stain up it, and not a tear shed.
So, speaking of the father, and again, I mentioned that I've been watching the Musketeers TV show. In the movie, sorry, in the show, the father is killed off as a plot device within the first 2-3 minutes of the show. Does that happen in the books?
No.
Okay, so they made that up for the show.
Yeah, that's been changed.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's just ham-handed Hollywood. That's like...
It's a good show.
You can't possibly have any reason to do right unless you're seeking revenge.
Hey, Scott, you
made
comment.
Brother, sensei, or father. Well, just throw a D6 and...
Well, at least it wasn't like a sister or a wife shoved into a fridge.
Scott made comment.
Wait, what?
I think before we...
I'm sorry. Nathaniel, what?
Have you never heard of the concept of fridging someone?
Yeah, fridging the woman.
What in the name of God are you two talking about?
So the concept that they're fridging someone is when... As a plot device, usually, almost always, a female character is killed off so that the male character can get revenge.
Why is it called fridging?
Because there was a comic, a specific comic, and I forget.
Green Lantern, I think it was.
Thank you, Green Lantern. He walks into his girlfriend's apartment, and his girlfriend has been murdered and stuffed in the freezer.
Wait, this is a thing?
You have your computer in front of you. Look it up. It is called...
I don't want to look up frozen dead women.
It is a real thing. It is a plot device that really sucks ass.
Ew. Yep. All right, carry on.
So funny enough, I watched this in the same night that I watched another movie, and that movie was The Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. I watched them back to back. And
it's a good choice of movies for back to back.
Yeah, it was great. One was at the theater, mm-hmm. just recently playing at the Academy.
Oh, that's right.
It's still
yeah.
playing tonight. Tomorrow night, it changes over to something else. Mm-hmm. But I saw The Princess Bride, and then I came home and watched this. There's a part in this movie at the very beginning when they really get into that first big whole group fight. And the churchmen come up, mm-hmm. and the cardinal's men come, and they're like, oh, we're going to arrest you. And they're like, nope.
Yeah, and the nunnery.
There's a line that I love, and it's all three of them together. One of them says, impossible. Mm-hmm. One of them says, unthinkable. The other one goes, unlikely.
Yeah.
And in my brain, I just wanted Wallace Shawn to leap up and go, inconceivable! And that would have made that perfect.
Do you have anything else you'd like to bring forth, Scott? Because we're about time to move over to the gaming portion.
Well,
you have this pile of books.
I have a pile of books.
Yeah,
it's a small pile of books of the latest Musketeer novel, Red Sphinx, which is an allusion to Cardinal Richelieu.
And it just came out when?
This year.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Sorry, it just came out this year. It is an unfinished Musketeer novel that was finished by this translator. I wish I could tell you more, but look it up, with a short story. So he took a Dumas short story and this half-finished novel mm-hmm. and wove them together into a finished novel.
And their estate was okay with that? The Dumas estate?
It's public domain.
Oh, okay. Oh. One day I hope that happens with J.R.R. Tolkien stuff, mm-hmm. because I really want to see somebody take his stories and finish them. And they hold them
as long as it's not Christopher Tolkien. Okay, I'll tell you, I turned 40 this year, and my ability to do these long stretches is just gone. And then you have, like, all this fire nonsense, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, the entire state's on fire. And
I think that's part of why I'm in a weird headspace also, is because it just does stuff to you.
Yeah. My primary source of daily activities and energy, I just can't do. I can't go for walks without wheezing because of asthma. I can't ride my bicycle for the same reason. And even when I ride my motorcycle, it's just flowing right up in the helmet.
Because you don't have that filtration system that a car does.
It's awful.
Anyway, it's a great time for you to take a vacation, Vince. Fuck you. I'm really glad I'm covering all your goddamn shifts. And I know you listen to this show, and I want you to know how I feel.
So this
would
have been...
Otherwise, Macaulay Culkin never would have gotten out of there alive.
Ow. God damn. That is... that is wrong.
Wow.
That is wrong.
I didn't do any of it.
No.
That's not my life.
So that would have been Thriller era Michael Jackson-ish.
Yeah, he was very eccentric. I don't think that he could have been
unlike
in the right
Bowie,
headspace.
Who's practically a Republican.
Bowie... Well, okay, guys, let's not speak ill of the dead here.
No,
let's move on.
No, we're not, because I love Bowie. I grew up listening to Bowie, so yeah.
I grew up listening to Michael Jackson, too, okay. So let's move on from...
So the Goblin King was, like I departed. Said, was just going to be another non-human creature.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you have to sacrifice a couple of kids for the sake of art, I mean, fantastic art. Just saying. Macaulay Culkin, who cares?
When it was confirmed that David Bowie was
that's getting
interested.
Cut, isn't it?
That's getting cut.
Okay. Let's do a cut.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. Take a
fucking
break, take
killing
a
me, Smalls.
I move the stars for no one. So my baby,
I'm
trying hard as babe could try.
Think of that song you were just singing, but as Michael Jackson singing it, and it just becomes this dark.
My baby's love had gone.
No, you guys are idiots. No. Fucking fanboys.
What kind of magic? Yeah, see, it doesn't.
Yeah, because that's not the song. It was the song you were singing before.
If Michael Jackson is
singing to a prepubescent girl, I move the stars for no one.
You've run so far.
The music would have been totally different because it would have been written by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, because David Bowie wrote those songs. So David Bowie wrote the songs. So
he even wrote Chili Down with the Fire Gang.
So it would have been a completely different set of songs.
I'm just saying.
I don't like you right now.
I don't care. I'll just fill it with bullshit and engage the audience.
That's cool.
That's what I do. People will expect filthy from me by then, so I'll just be like, so, how many of you have an STD right now?
Yes. We had a bad,
I really
we had
love
a,
that
my,
movie.
My friends and I had a bad movie night one night, and it was Excalibur, and so they're... I
that wasn't bad movie. No, titties, neon swords, fan freaking tastic.
No, because a couple of the people there are British history buffs, and it just got kind of ripped apart. And it's like, oh, but it's a movie.
It's not
the whole Arthurian legend makes no sense in British history. It is like it is complete fable.
Well,
that doesn't even
a lot of people take the Mary Stewart.
You mean the Mary Sue?
Mary Stewart.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The Crystal Cave series of books the best fictionalized version of the Arthurian legend. And this movie, Excalibur, actually follows along. You know what? Let's put Excalibur on the list. I'll talk about it then.
Oh, God.
That's fine.
We're going to bring our mutual friend on for that one.
Okay.
He'll probably rip it apart.
Good. Yeah. I'll fight with him.
And then we'll bring and then we'll bring our other mutual friend that did rip it apart also.
I'll fight them both. I don't care.
Are we talking about a podcaster?
Both of them are.
Okay.
Yeah, both of them.
Podcast Alley. Fantastic. I love that movie. I'll go
with I love the movie too.
It's going to be Fuck Excalibur, the episode.
But, you know, it's not like we got a good Where the Wild Things Are movie. So
I enjoyed the one that we got. It wasn't awful. I was just like, okay. I was also really, really high at the time that I watched it. So.
I'll tell you, man, CG. Yeah. CG's killer.
I love CG when it's used to pepper.
Yeah.
But when. We've talked about Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow that we're going to do, and that was all CG. I mean, that was all CG, and the new Hobbit movies were pretty much all CG, and so many movies are so much CG because it was cheaper at a point in time than actually going on location. Now it's getting more expensive than actually going on location and having parts.
So I'm glad that special effects are coming back into style.
I am too.
It's good to see them come back.
And I think that's mostly because of Star Wars right now again. They're using so many more practical effects.
Yeah. Hey, Dusty.
Hey, Matthew.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nathaniel, so, don't throw the bottle at me.
And so, and
so one thing I'm going to do.
He's smiling.
Is,
he's not twitching. That's dangerous.
I'm planning something that I'm going to release later, only internally.
I really don't want
to
hear this.
And it's going to be every single one of the from all of the episodes of the first two series in one thing.
I'll get about 10 seconds into it, and I'll be like, all right, I listened to it.
There you go.
For years,
I don't know. If that's good.
We'll see Matthew just rage quit.
And nah,
I'm pro, yo.
Don't worry, I don't hate it. It's just more of a. I listen to that shit at work all day long. So
I saw your post.
When I go
so
to
do
work,
I
have to attend a number of meetings and presentations from people who are all programmers. They're not social people. There are some who are, but for the most part, they're not. And they'll get up there, and it's clear that they're into the subject that they're talking about. But it's, I can predict each and every one of them too. Now, I am
that's
the
problem
whisperer.
With having a fast moving brain is that you're already there while they're still struggling to form it.
Yeah.
One thing that's nice about my job is I'll just walk away. I can be incredibly rude to people, and I am, and I love it.
I've seen it.
And
I wouldn't trade it
for anything else in the world.
And I laugh every time I see that happen because the rudeness that you bestow on a patron is well deserved.
I also like to think of it as educational.
I can even recognize your pattern and how you do it. I've started to see it when I watch people, and it's just kind of look down and look away. Kind of do this, look down and move this way.
Yep, I'm done with you. When you figure out what the hell you want, come talk to me.
This episode is fun to do. I'm really
I correct their grammar when they're trying to work.
I think the guy last night overheard me about the tip because he put 50 cents back.
Oh, well, that showed monkey. I left it there.
The helping hands, if you didn't know.
That was the dumbest decision in the whole movie.
Which part?
Everything that she had done up to that point was arguably rather stupid. She got the riddle right. She got the riddle correct. Mm-hmm. And then she goes through the right door, and then she falls. And then she's like, well, I'm already going down, so you might as well. Like, what the?
Chaotic teenager.
That was teenager logic right there. Yeah.
There were over 100 pairs of hands that went into holding her for the helping hand scene.
How old was she?
She was 15 when they did this movie.
What year was this?
1986.
I would have been 6, so I wouldn't have had that crush on her yet.
I was an early bloomer.
I was 9. Yeah, I was early also. So the scene was actually...
That said, unconsensual groping, not cool.
Well, they couldn't see. I don't think it's
we were making some jokes there.
Does it count if it's not the same species? Because those are just hands.
That's
like,
kind of like
no human attached.
It's kind of like in Ghostbusters when the hand comes up out of the couch for Dana.
Yeah.
Like whoever was the hands of Zool's guardians grabbed onto her breasts as she was being transported into the other dimension.
For consent to apply, it has to be human. Otherwise, every dog on the planet is a sex predator.
Oh my god!
So the scene, get your nose out of my crotch, you sick son of a bitch!
Oh my god. The scene was actually quite dangerous to set up because of everyone that was there. It was just a big shaft. There was a chain link fence behind them.
You want it? I'm not gonna tell us about the big shaft in the hands. Tell us all about it.
Oh, my God.
And then link Jennifer Connelly in, please.
Yet again, this is an area I start talking, and I don't really think about the things that I'm saying.
Don't worry. I'm here to help. I'm from the government.
If we ever have one of my friends, or a couple of my friends, Mike and Sarah, on here to talk about, ask them about the D&D campaign with the waterfall and the guy in a little boat that was in a swimsuit. They will start laughing.
Okay. I'm supposed to ask about the little man in the boat?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I want to hear about that shaft, Dusty.
No. So she was being held up by all these people, and there was a chain link fence that had little hooks so they could put their hands through. They basically just kind of would rest in there.
Yeah, their
there
hands
was
were
no
suspended.
There was no harness for Jennifer Connelly, so that if she fell, she would fall, you know, and maybe break a leg, break an arm, or even get ripped up because of the metal set behind her. So it was actually a very dangerous set. And it was kind of interesting that there's so many laws for kids and working on set now. That her being a minor, they were just like, oh, we'll just a bunch of people are going to hold you. Don't worry about it. And if they had to cut, then they just, there was no place to, they didn't like lower her down hand by hand or lower her back up. They just, everyone held her.
Well, it does add a certain immediacy to the performance.
Yeah, hurry it up.
What if she had told them to go back up?
I guess now we have our answer as to why she made that choice. They're like, bitch, I can't lift you. I'm a wrist. Destiny 2 came out yesterday.
Oh, dear Lord.
We've come a long way in my lifetime.
from Asteroids to...
Oh, I've been playing since before Pong. Asteroids.
Well, well, I've had Pong, but the first gaming console that we had, I remember it was my dad went back. Everything he did it in the nuclear field in the Army, he had to prove that he could do, so we had to go back to school for it, which was a stupid thing. So my parents bought an Atari 2600, and I think like 6 or 7 games in one hit because they knew there wasn't going to be any money. It was like, let's spend as much money as we can to make sure the kids are quiet and playing video games. And so your dad can focus on going back to school. So there was Asteroids, Missile Command, like Riddle of the Sphinx.
That one was horrible.
Yeah, anyway,
my first system was the Intellivision. And my father died when I was 4, and I have very few memories of him. But I distinctly remember him loving the Intellivision gaming system, very specifically the game Space Invaders, which he called Space Turkeys. And he would wake me up in the middle of the night between ages of 3 and 4 to come in there and play Space Turkeys with him in the middle of the night.
It's a good memory.
Yeah.
That's a really good memory. One of the things that I like towards the end, when everything's said and done and she's got her confidence and she's now, you know, a teenager, an adult or whatever. Her coming of age has happened, so to say. In her room, when she's saying goodbye.
Her coming of age happened in the pit of pants. Shut up.
I think that cod piece had something to do with that, too.
It's always the cod piece.
Seriously, you cannot deny the cod piece.
So a few years ago, it was playing at when the Baghdad, before they moved over to doing first run movies, it was set up for a midnight movie. And I went there on a date with this lovely lady, and she had never seen it. So when the codpiece scenes came up,
oh my.
She was like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah.
Wait. You agreed?
No, I'm saying it.
No, you said yeah. So how did that date end?
That date ended with her in my bed that night.
Atta
thank you very
boy.
Much.
All right.
Motherfucker.
So anyway, the coming of age scene.
So in her bedroom, there's a lot of little things that if you notice that pertain to the actual movie. He's got to take this in so many wrong ways.
This movie is all about taking things in the wrong ways.
True. This is
in
true.
Her bedroom, in the coming of age.
I know. The only way this
so many innuendos.
The
in
only
this.
Way this would be worse is if Navita were sitting here. Like going,
she'd be dying.
I know,
she'd be cackling.
She would
die.
She would love it, and I would feel bad for you on editing.
Hey, do you still keep in contact with that woman? The date?
Oh no.
Okay, good. I'm saying we're about to put that shit out on the internet. So.
I don't care. Even if we did. All right. So there's a stuffed animal that looks like Sir Didymus on her dresser.
Yeah.
There is a doll that looks just like Ludo on the shelves next to her door, along with the book Where the Wild Things Are. So that kind of harkens back to Sendak being pissed off. The fire doll on the shelves next to her bed.
I saw that.
The book ends with the goblins holding the books.
Did not see that.
Okay. Character reminiscent of Hoggle on the dresser.
Yes.
All right. And the figure of Jareth on the right-hand side of her desk. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
After you see the Hoggle book end, the camera pans to a scrapbook that's shown. It shows newspaper clippings of Sarah's famous mother, who was an actress, with another man who happens to be David Bowie.
No way.
Yep, it is David Bowie in that photograph.
Huh.
The dress that she wears in the ballroom scene can also be seen adorning the miniature doll in her music box.
Because they pan They get really close.
Yeah, they get in close to a lot of things there. There's a wooden maze, a wooden labyrinth on her dresser next to her books. There is also a small painting on her wall that depicts a contraption much like the one operated by the cleaners as it's going through while they're running. And there's a copy of the famous picture by M.C. Escher, which is used in the room with the final confrontation.
Yeah.
There's a little sight things there. One of the other things that was used in the initial draft and but wasn't used in the final cut of the movie that J.K. Rowling kind of picked up later in her books. She used this discarded idea, apparently. It was Sarah discovers these paintings which depicted other sites of the labyrinth throughout that whole world. And the paintings were lifelike. Jareth would move in them, and he would do certain things with the other characters. And that's how he would move throughout the maze, much like characters in the Harry Potter universe, the old headmasters and other teachers would move throughout that world using the paintings. So J.K. Rowling, whether it was intentional or not, kind of took a little bit of labyrinth, which is kind of cool.
Hey, they didn't use it in the movie. It's fair game.
Yeah.
It's not like it has source material like a novel that it came from, so.
Exactly. Also, the owl was one of the very first computer-generated characters for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember there was a big brouhaha about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what a brouhaha is, but there was one, and it was about that.
Have to do. It means like a have to do.
Ah. That did not clear that up even slightly.
Smell bad.
Smell bad.
All right. Yeah.
What else you got on this one?
Dragons, you are not.
Vape Nash, bro. Vape Nash.
Hey, Dusty.
Yes, Nathaniel?
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power?
The power of voodoo.
Voodoo?
Hoodoo.
You do?
Do what?
Remind you of the babe. I think we turned words did. Around.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That always happens. Yeah. Just look at the back and forth.
Yes, master, come in. Welcome to a very special, spooktacular month of horror at Have Movies Will Game. In this podcast, we pick the darkest, scariest, and creepiest movies and talk about what made them great before giving you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. Yes, master. And best of all, one of these movies will be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. Now, on with the show, master. Yes, on with the show.
Welcome to a very special spooktacular month of horror at Have Movies Will Game. In this podcast, we pick the darkest, the scariest, and the creepiest movies, and we talk about what made them great before giving you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. And best of all, one of these movies will be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. Now, on with the show, to battle!
I will say one thing I really liked about this movie was the cinematography. I don't often say that, but it was really good.
The cinematography was pretty. That was actually done by Chung Hoon Chung.
Chung Hoon Chung, you did a fantastic job.
I couldn't.
Like he's listening.
They are out of Seoul and have 28 films credited to their resume, including The Handmaiden. These are no movies that I've ever watched.
Yeah.
But based on this person's cinematography, I now want to go back and watch them. The Handmaiden, Boulevard, The Unjust, Blades of Blood, which sounds interesting.
Blade Sword.
I'm a cyborg, but that's okay.
I've heard about that one. Yeah.
Despo Naughty Girls.
Also want to see that one.
All right, I'm on board.
And Old Boy.
So, well, which one?
It says Old Boy.
Which year?
I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there's a couple of different versions of that.
Okay.
There's the the Takeshi Mika, I think it was. And I think there's one with like Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds.
there was a formula that I was noticing happening where every single episode would have this kind of build up, this structure. And you started to be able to figure out from the sound cues, which were good sound cues.
Yeah.
We started to be able to figure out, you could time it perfectly. Yeah. Like you go, boom, and all right, there it is.
Yep.
And I think I was kind of pissing off the person I was seeing the movie because I was like, dude. And I went, poker. Oh, God. It was awful. I don't like jump scares. Nah. I think that they're cheap.
I think it did a good job on just horror factor by itself as well. But
And if you also look closely in the background when they're in the main street of Derry where the movie theater is, you can see the movie posters that mark the passage of time.
Yeah.
This I noticed on the second. Well, I mean, I saw it, but I didn't really notice it until I watched it last night again. And these mark the passage of time throughout that summer of 1989. So in June, when the movie around starts, you have Batman showing, the 1989 version. In July, when it notes that it's July, you have Lethal Weapon 2.
Great
when
movie.
It says August, you have Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. So those three movies show the passage of time.
Yeah.
And that's just me being a movie nerd. So, which should be awesome.
God of War, huh? Right.
And then the graphic novel series.
Not God of War. Shadow of the Colossus was the greatest PlayStation game ever made.
That's not.
It's not God of War. No.
No. Shadow of the Colossus is the game where it's just you, a horse, and a sword, and you travel across this vast, beautiful wilderness. There's no dialogue, only a little bit of musical cues guiding you in the direction. And eventually you stumble upon a big fucking monster and you got to climb that thing and stab it repeatedly in the eyeballs. But it's also like 17 stories tall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to do this 15 more times.
All right.
Yeah. With different ones. And each one, it's an amazing game series. So if they're making a movie out of that, I'm skeptical.
Yeah. And then he's also set to direct the graphic novel series turned movie Lock and Key, which I'm a big fan of.
Okay. Wait, so this is the same guy who directed the movie that we just saw?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could work. He was a very interesting
I still
character.
vividly remember the first thing I killed on a farm. And it's a moment. And I think they played that moment really well.
I've never killed a thing on a farm, but I do vividly remember the first roadkill that I ever created. It was terrible. It was a vivid experience. It was a puppy.
Oh, damn, dude.
Well, what had happened, I was coming around.
No, don't tell this story.
I'm gonna. It's sad. I was coming around on this bend on a bay road in just south of Mobile, Alabama. And there was a storm. Storm's coming. There was a storm. And then
you don't get
suddenly,
to make jokes about puppy killing.
I was coming around this bend, and there was this lightning strike
just
to my left in this grove of trees. And then out of nowhere, this tiny puppy bolts across the street. I didn't even see it until I hit it. It just bolted, scared by the lightning bolt. And, oh, man, I haven't thought about that in years. It was sad. This is getting cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
And then
start.
Sorry. Holy shit, dude.
Okay.
I just had a deep moment.
We want to relate our personal experiences, but not puppy killing. I can think of no other
way. I didn't want to
drive audiences away.
Womp, womp, womp.
And after that, I kicked a baby.
And then I found $20. And it was all good.
Kicking babies, making money. Kicking babies, making money. Not many people that I talked to that have not read the book didn't know about the turtle. Did you? This was something I talked about.
It's not in the movie. Is there a turtle in the movie?
There's three instances of a turtle.
Okay.
Tell us of the instance of the turtle.
Because I didn't see it.
There's.
Are these random encounters?
Well, the turtle is part of the story in the macroverse of Stephen King. Pennywise.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Pennywise has a nemesis called the Turtle or the Maturin in the Dark Tower novels. And he serves as one of the 12 guardians of the beams which keep the Dark Tower from falling. So in the book, the turtle instructs Bill to enact the ritual of Chud, which allows the Losers Club to defeat Pennywise towards the end. The director wanted to omit that scenario, which is kind of good.
It may be just because the movie Chuds was so good that they were afraid of.
But there are three instances of the turtle.
I like the way they defeat him in the end.
So do I.
They pick up a stick and they beat the crap out of him.
Yes.
There are
multiple sticks.
There are three instances of the turtle. In the scene where it's theorized when Georgie gets taken down under the sewer, if you notice on the other side of the street, there's a large tarp covering dirt. That is theorized that that's actually the turtle sitting there watching Pennywise to make sure that he doesn't come out into the open too much. There is, when they're at the rock quarry, they make comment that there's a turtle in the water and they try to catch it, but they can't. And
oh, yeah. They're all poking around at the bottom. I expected that to be another jump scare, like getting pulled under the water, but it never happened.
And then when the older brother thinks he sees George, when he goes into his bedroom, he picks up the Lego turtle and then he drops it.
Yeah.
So there are three definite points of the turtle making a point to be seen in the movie without actually being the turtle.
Honestly, for as much as this movie was like hacked together and company to company and director to director and actor to actor, it came out pretty solid.
Yeah,
you know?
It did.
Do they always fucking cut the hand? Why always? Anytime somebody wants to dramatically cut themselves or cut themselves for a ritual or anything, it's always across the hand.
Because when you use the genitals, it's a sex crime.
You want to just cut somewhere in the arm or whatnot. Hands are useful, and I know it looks cool and dramatic.
There's veins running everywhere else. Big ass ones.
Yeah.
This is meaty.
Just cut like right here where there's no vein.
This is meaty. Yeah.
It heals fast, too.
I think it's stupid. I think cutting yourself across the hand dramatically.
How are you supposed
cut
to
cut the tip of your finger, cut the side of your hand, but the palm where you grip? Oh, yes, I must give myself pain whenever I do anything with these two useful things attached to my body.
How many times a week would you say you jerk off? Because you seem really passionate about this, and I'm thinking you might have an ulterior motive.
Hands separate us from animals here, except for gorillas, which Cletus was a fine example of me chaining a system to get a free hand. Hands are useful. They always cut across the hands, and I always think it's stupid.
I can't help but notice you didn't answer my question.
That's not none of your business.
But it's the audience's business.
Oh, welcome to the hive, Mama, and welcome to a very special spooktacular month of horror at Have Movies Real Games. In this podcast, we pick the darkest, scariest, and creepiest movies, and we talk about what made them great. We show them every night in the hive, yes. Before we give you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. And best of all, we serve the queen. But then second to that, one of these movies will be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. We will show it in the hive. Now, enter the cocoon, if you will, please. We have jelly for you. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to a very special spooktacular month of horror at Have Movies Will Game. In this podcast, we will pick the darkest, the scariest, and the creepiest movies and talk about what made them great, before giving you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. And best of all, one of these movies will be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. Now, on with the show.
Are we live?
I remember you said you were kind of like worried.
We are live.
Oh.
All right.
So I suppose the question that really, really troubles me is, how come you get the brownies right in front of you?
You can have the brownies, my friend. They are
you all
heard
them
for you. I have eaten half of this already.
Yeah. Yeah.
My badonka donk.
Oh. Wait, you're saying what sticks to your badonka donk?
Whatever goes in my mouth.
Sticks to your badonka donk. Boom, ba boom, boom, boom. So either you're really flexible or you have some strange digestive issues.
Both?
Matthew's trying hard not to laugh over here. Trying hard not to talk.
I said nothing. Chips. Chaps.
So I'm trying quietly to get cheese onto a cracker. Because I'm going one-handed crackers. Here. And this is going to go in my mouth. It's
trying to hold back burps.
You want the crunch? Can I have silence on the set, please? That must have been good. That had to have come through because I heard it and I kind of puckered the cheeks so that echo effect out to the mic.
Every Thursday at the same time.
Tell me that came through, please. You were all warned. This is me sober. If they can save Daredevil and make it relevant, they can save Aquaman. I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
I believe.
I was kind of shocked at how good the Daredevil series was, but yeah. I don't think Daredevil saved it. I think Vincent D'Onofrio saved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. You haven't watched it?
No, I haven't yet. I have so many things in like my queue to watch, plus books to read, plus the book I'm writing, plus this, plus.
Is the second episode the one with the hallway fight?
Yeah.
The second episode.
I've heard about that.
You watch
fight.
The first episode, you're like, I don't know about this. I'm going to watch it one more. You watch the second, yep, I'm in.
It's kind of like I've heard about that fight as much, if not a little bit more than the stairwell fight that was in Atomic Blonde, which like totally blew the whole movie away for me.
I don't think any of the current Marvel shows on Netflix have topped that moment.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Like they're all good in their meaning and in their various ways, but that moment was like that to me was kind of like they blew their load. Like we just okay, well that's the best we'll ever do. But I hope you liked
the Punisher in that though.
Yeah, well. We're going into bonus material here.
All right.
The screenplay of this movie was written in...
Stop. I need to cut. And...
God, that would have been fantastic to shoot an actress with that, though.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to get you with the D word. Wait, was D a term then?
No, you want the D? No. It wasn't I don't think it was the
D
one.
My contract stipulates only one D.
I don't think it was a D one. I think it was a D100, I think, was an icon. It was D100.
You might be right. It was the XS one for Canon.
Yeah.
This is just before you were starting to do that.
10 megapixels, go down. Go way down. You're looking at 2, 3, maybe 4 megapixels on cameras.
But I meant on like professional cameras because that's like the D1 time.
Oh, yeah. Well, the D1 was only 2 megapixels.
No, not the Nikon.
Yeah, the Nikon D1 was like
Nikon was 0.4 for the D1. Anyway, it probably wasn't very good. I jerk it as hard as it needs to be jerked, Jesse. Like Judge Dredd? The first or the second one?
Oh, you know what? I know that you wanted to put that first one on the list.
Judge Dredd!
The one with Stallone? Come on. That's a terrible fucking movie.
That's why it needs to be on the list.
The one with Carl Urban is so good. So good.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be good.
But it is. His facial expression the whole time is 100% Judge Dredd.
No. Judge Dredd is... There is only
Judge
one
Dredd.
Judge
Dredd is this.
Yeah, I know.
That's all Carl Urban does the whole time.
The face Nathaniel made looked like he was trying to push out a constipated turd.
That's what Judge Dredd looks like.
I mean, to be fair, he's not wrong.
It's true.
Constipated turd and Stallone are not...
you were talking about...
On our other Let's Play channel, Jessica and I were doing bad band jokes, dad jokes the other night. It was awful.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this episode.
Yeah, it's bad. But we're not plugging that, so.
Rhythm is a dancer. I don't know anywhere to go with that. All bad.
I should be a guest here more often. I mean, you guys have so many snacks.
Oh, my God, that movie. Have you watched it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's just... Sickly skinny.
Yeah, you know, before filming, he noted that he had a single can of tuna fish and a apple. And that was his meal, what he ate for the entire day. And then went and worked out.
Nope, there's not a thing in the world I care about enough to do that.
And then...
Like, not ever.
After he did the machinist, he turned
around... I love tacos way too much.
I know
there's
you do.
There's no way.
And then he turned around and did the Batman movie. So he had to bulk back up to, like, 220 pounds.
So, and Christian Bale keels over at 55, we'll know why.
Exactly.
The pointy elbows.
Yeah, you get in there with those pointy elbows and just make us hurt.
If you could do it all the way up to the elbow, because if you don't, it shows you don't care.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, you have to just work it all the way in.
All the way. Just.
We're talking about fisting up to the elbow right now.
Elbow deep inside the borderline.
All right, I'm going to go there. Who's fisted somebody? Okay, good.
All right.
All right.
If you could see the look on Jessica's face,
I can't
priceless.
Get off without it. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, you meant somebody else.
Way to bring it back, Matthew.
Jesus Christ.
Again, there was.
We were just excited.
Yeah. About and fisting. We got it. We got to have this bonus.
Whose
stuff
fist
yet.
Is this anyway? Great song by Prong.
This
Missy Prong, wish you were still doing
this
it.
This is going to fill our Patreon with stuff that hopefully people will pay us money for.
Yes.
Hey, you know, they pay all other right, sites so for I'm fisting. Why not us?
Because it goes on WebTube. And there it is. She snorted. I think we can go home now. The night's over. Jessica
thanks for
snorted.
Listening, everybody. Jessica snorted. We
and
got our guest to laugh.
She's bright red. She's as bright red as her hair is.
That's my microphone.
She is completely
flushed.
Oh, wow,
you are.
There it is, number two.
Oh, God.
That's it. That's all, folks.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez. I don't know, Rick.
I don't know, Rick.
Way up there.
I can't do it. You know what? You know what, Morty?
Up there.
Morty.
The wrist is for pussies, Morty. You gotta get all the way up there, past the elbow, Morty.
Donate the player. Hit the game, bud.
What was that porn star name? Wrist. Robbie Wrist.
No,
I was going to make comment about that. We don't have a porn name this time around in our list of people.
Read through it fast again. I can make this happen. I believe in me.
We have Lee Wannell as Adam Faulkner.
No.
Carrie Elway's Dr. Lawrence Gordon. Danny Glover.
Danny Fister.
You just wow.
No.
Now we're still recording. Right. Yeah,
I got nothing.
Glover?
Yeah, there's nothing in there. This is like. This is the first time where none of the character or actor's names can be translated into a porn.
I'm very disappointed in this movie now. I don't want to talk about it.
And it's all Jessica's fault because she picked it.
No.
I'm sorry.
I need you to think about these things.
Look
what
at the
sounds
cast
like
next
butt
time.
Stuff?
I just didn't think of porn when I saw this movie. I'm sorry. Some
people do, apparently.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
I like it in the gutter. It's warm and wet and you meet interesting people.
That's what I have to put up with.
Welcome to a very special, spectacular month of horror at Have Movies Will Game. Did they find us? Oh, God. Look, in this podcast, we pick the darkest, the scariest, and the creepiest movies, and we talk about what made them great before they killed Janice. Oh, my God, Janice! Look, we're going to talk about what made them great before we give you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. Oh, God, our group is dead. They're all dead. But you're looking on the bright side. On the bright side, best of all, one of these movies is going to be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. So, something you guys might actually survive. I'm not going to survive. Oh, no. I think I heard them. I think it's time. It's time to go. Now, on with the show.
That son of a bitch was recording all that.
Yep. You didn't know that?
No, because he sits directly across from me.
Yep.
I went on a sword boobs and sorcery stint a couple months ago, like the entire Deathstalker series and Hundra and Red Sonja and basically trying the Sword and the Sorcerer and trying to find all of those really bad 80s cheesecake.
Is on here?
Yeah, I think all of it.
Farscape's still on Netflix, I think. Also.
Oh, it's just
Peacekeeper
Wars. It's still a good
whole
movie.
Thing on there. I should have all of it.
There are so many really good. Some of my favorite. I love the Terra Firma episode. That's my favorite episode, I think.
Oh, I know what's going on for the rest of my life.
I also got all of Babylon 5 on there, which I think is an amazing show.
Good, but not Farscape good.
Yeah.
Babylon 5.
Crackers don't matter.
Farscape is funnier. I think Babylon 5 is a better story. Like, the political.
Well, I never watched Babylon 5.
Are you guys watching Orville?
Yes. I love it.
It's good. It's more Star Trek than recent Star Trek.
And the last episode from last
week?
So good.
Oh,
my God.
I've been the social.
Yeah, the social. Yeah.
I've been holding back.
Oh, it's worth your time, and there's not a lot to get caught up on.
No,
you can
and
burn
the third,
through it in a
third
night.
Episode, it really starts to kick off. Like,
it's
really good. First two episodes, they're establishing. There's really no, like, dick and fart jokes.
Oh, there's plenty.
But not
but
like
it's not family guy dick and fart jokes.
Exactly.
So that's way more. It has way more heart.
It's. It has a lot,
way
like
more heart,
a lot of heart. Yeah,
I'm good. Sam and I started mainlining season two of Stranger Things.
Oh, I haven't gotten there.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh man, it's one of those where every episode, you know, it's moving along. Mm-hmm. The last 10 seconds, fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Next.
Right.
They know what they're doing.
I have to go to sleep, you assholes.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any plans for Saturday other than my weigh-in. So after that, I think I'm just going to go back home and start watching Stranger Things 2. It was either that or work on the book. So
I've got two seasons of Voltron now I got to watch, too.
Yeah, I started watching the first season. I think I got four episodes in, and then I just kind of stopped
watching it.
Oh, no, it was great. I just stopped watching it.
It made a shit show into a decent show.
It's like I need to watch.
Yeah, not to do that.
not amazing, but good. Solid.
I need to watch The Last Airbender. I've never watched that.
Well, no, The Last Airbender is fucking terrible. The show Avatar. Well,
yeah, Avatar.
The Last
that's what
Airbender
I mean. Yeah, that's
good.
What I mean. Yeah, the movie that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh,
okay, so I went with Joe and Sarah and Mike and I think Navita. We all went to go see. The Avatar movie, the M. Night Shyamalan movie that came out, because they were all
huge fans
of the show. And I had never watched the show, but I'm like, okay, it's Shyamalan. I'm willing to give him another chance after the atrociousness of his last few movies. And this looks kind of cool. I remember walking out of that movie and not knowing anything about the animated show at all. And I'm like, what the fuck was all of that? And really, wasn't the kid supposed to be of like Asian descent?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just a white and
magical white kid saves the day.
I thought the movie was complete and utter trash. And that's hard to say even for me. Because I like
don't
trashy
we always,
movies.
Always save the day though? I mean The Last of the Mohicans, The Last Samurai. All those white people saving the day through cultural appropriation.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, first off.
Is Tom Cruise white or does he identify Hobbit?
The Last Samurai? People. It's good. It's good.
That's great.
I will, in defense of The Last Samurai, it's not a great white savior movie. He's really there as a spectator. Yeah. Like, he is simply.
It is a good movie. I like
He is simply the viewpoint of the Western audience into that culture. Like, so many idiots saw that movie, went into it thinking the title was about Tom Cruise. And, you know, that's, I guess, the problem with the marketing department, because the movie was called The Last Samurai and all of the marketing was Tom Cruise's face.
Yeah.
But it was really the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Same with Last of the Mohicans. Yeah. It wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis was not the Last of the Mohicans.
Nope.
But...
And then
no one's read the book either, apparently.
I think it was
in the movie.
I think it was last year when The Great Wall came out.
Yeah.
So many people got pissed at that because it had Mark Wahlberg in it. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not Mark Wahlberg.
The other one?
It's
Matt Damon. Oh, Matt Damon. Yeah. You know what, though? It was directed by a Chinese man with a Chinese company in China.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was Chinese. He just really liked Matt Damon asked him to be in his movie.
It was the same director and production company that did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
So everyone expected it to be just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What, they had not seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2? Because that was not amazing.
I didn't even know there was a sequel for that.
There is, and it's shit.
Oh, that's... I'll
I know there's a
that.
Show on Netflix.
Maybe. I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
There was a second movie, and
Ip Man is becoming a show on Netflix.
It's balls.
Ip Man is an extremely popular franchise, too.
I know. Well, I like it.
I want to see Stephen Chow get a show at Netflix.
I don't know who that is, so that I'll just nod knowingly.
He was in the, Rogue One, right?
He was the director of Shaolin Soccer, Kung Fu Hustle, The $60 Million Man.
Okay.
All of those zany, insane Chinese comic martial arts movies.
Right.
And I want to see him. I want to see more of Stephen Chow. I think he needs to get more stuff. Shaolin Soccer was one of the most amazing things I think I've ever seen.
It was a great movie. It was a great movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
that would be one to run as a interesting if you could run it as a game.
He did that Journey to the West as well. I think at least two movies of it.
Okay, so here's how you play that as a game. Do you remember that old vibrating football?
Yeah, yeah.
Thing where you set that up on the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you give everyone a BB gun with no BBs.
Uh huh.
And they can pump it up so it sprays air blasts.
Yeah.
And then you just, when it's your turn, you try and get your guy towards the end. And that's how you play that game.
I've seen some really strange games at like board game DIY demo gatherings, like where people will do things like where one of the mechanic is flicking or flipping. I've seen somebody's board game prototype that the mechanic was a can of air duster and you held it back.
That's better than a BB gun.
Yeah, and you blew it at the board to try and move ships around.
I like it.
That's fucking brilliant.
Wow.
Because you're basically the wind of these pirate ships invading each other. It was a catastrophe.
I am a leaf on the wind. Stab. Oh, hey, by the way, what did you think of the Weed?
Haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Yeah, because you are busy.
Yes.
No, The Much Ado About Nothing?
Yeah, I loaned it to him.
I want to see it.
It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. So I think we're here to talk about a different movie, though.
I think a little bit.
La.
Thank you for that. That was fantastic.
Feel better?
I feel younger.
I feel better, too.
Feel a little lighter now, don't you?
Very quietly add Flash Gordon to the list.
I'm fine with that.
He hates heroes.
Somebody had, on my feed had posted the original fidget spinner, and it shows the Kroll glaive.
What is this? I'm fascinated by the cover. Can I open this?
That is a game called The Nightmares Underneath. It is a retro clone of D&D based on Persian and Arabic mythology.
Ooh. Cool.
I love that part where they're talking about how everything. What was it?
It has like a metaphysical explanation for the existence of dungeons.
Oh, cool.
The cult premise is dungeons have invaded the earth. Dungeons
from
the nightmare realm.
Yeah.
They are incursions of the unknown horrors that lie beneath.
Oh, it's pretty too. It's beautiful. A really pretty book. Nice.
It gives you starting equipment based on social status.
As it should.
Yeah. You can have a character who starts with basically pennies and scraps, and a character who starts with like 5 horses. it's very nice.
Yes. Welcome. No one can hear you but me. Welcome to a very special spooktacular month of horror at Half Movies Will Game. In this podcast, we pick the darkest, scariest, and creepiest movies and talk about what made them great before giving you, the listener, ideas on how you can play them at your role-playing group. And best of all, one of these movies will be voted on to determine which game goes on to star in its own full video of actual play. Yes. Now, look into my eyes. Look deep into my eyes. And on with the show.
What does that mean?
You're not using... It's not good for your urethra if you disseminate. You really have to let that go.
Yeah. Like you're not using...
If you choke it off, it's really bad for the entire path.
In high school, they made us read this book called Brave New World by Aldous Huxley.
Yeah. Yes.
I was so offended, offended by the first chapter of that book that I tore it out, ate it, gave it back to the teacher and said, I am not reading this. And I got an F on that assignment.
Yeah.
And now today it's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, it's a
good
book.
But it challenged me. It pushed my limits at that age. Like that concept that the future is depressing and like everything is so dystopian and codified and we're just slaves to the man. I was so offended by that.
That was back when you still had hope.
I still had hope.
That gets beaten out of
you after a while. Before you knew any better.
Yeah. But I can think of at least one samurai story that gave me a new hope.
Ka-kung. Personally, wow, my personal favorite is Samurai Jack, but that's just me.
I love Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack is amazing.
Yeah. I also like Afro Samurai. Was it Afro Samurai?
Yeah. Afro Samurai is really good. Yeah. Surprisingly good for what you would think it would be. Like, it seems lame. Somebody explained the concept to you, and you look at the art, and you're brand new to the concept. You look at it like, the fuck is this shit? It's actually deep. It's deeper than you would think.
Well, it's very much. There's a lot of stuff that's deep that doesn't look like that would be deep. Like Rick and Morty is actually very deep.
Incredibly deep.
It is. And people, I hate his fans.
And people fucking think the whole Szechuan sauce. They don't actually get it with that. So.
And people screaming Pickle Rick. I just want to.
But people screaming Tiny Rick, I can relate because I'm dying inside as well. Just like Tiny Rick.
Other movies that had the same cost to make, I'm not adjusting for inflation here. Aliens, that was $17.5 million. Superbad, Hitman.
That's a great fucking movie.
Superbad. Step Up to the Streets, that dance movie. And
one of 16,000, who knows?
And then one of my favorites, and this is where you can't say I'm a film snob, Red Sonja.
I love Red Sonja.
Right, so do I. So, yeah.
Conan wasn't in it enough.
No, he wasn't, but he wasn't Conan in that movie. But Conan, not Conan.
So, a fun story. Back in February, my work had a mandatory conference.
Mm-hmm.
The entire company was mandatorily required to come to Portland from across the world. They flew them here, mind you. But they were required to come to Portland, have no personal time off, and come to this four-day conference.
Mm-hmm.
At one point during this conference, I don't even remember what triggered me to say this, but I think a customer issue that I was dealing with while I was at this conference was so idiotic that as somebody was explaining to it, I simply made this face. Someone took a picture of it, and that face has become a meme at my office.
Nice. That's awesome.
Whenever a customer says something that you're like, how do I shut web? Somebody posts that picture of my face.
To be honest with you, as long as I've known you, you know, there's that, the meme of that, of the pencil drawing of someone's face going back and seeing, I always think of you. I'm like, it's Nathaniel.
I will
say, the eyes, it's just a look. I mean,
of most of the people I know, I'm very expressionate. You can read my face. Mm-hmm. You just can.
Yeah.
I cannot conceal what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling. Now, sometimes people misread it because oftentimes a range of emotions can manifest as different as the same thing.
Go on.
But for the most part, I think I'm pretty readable. Yeah. I don't even try to hide it.
No, you are.
I've done theater for so long that I've just, and as a GM, and especially as somebody who does like voiceovers and whatnot, I find that the best way to get into a character is to make the faces as you are talking a character voice. So people often laugh at me when I run games because I'll do a character voice, but I'm also doing like a weird goblin face as I'm doing the weird goblin voice. And they're like, I just can't separate it. I just can't separate the you from the voice. But it's just an improv trick. Like if you're going to get into the spot, you're going to like get into that character with no preparation. Just make whatever face that you think that character's going to make.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to search, look at Facebook while you do game. No, I'm just fucking with you.
And we're back. That being said, I just would have hit on a forest path with a bow. I mean, they're obviously good shots.
Yeah.
Emperor's dead. You guys can all go back to your families
now. We got 13 people.
We're going to hit them at least once.
13 people, and even if they each have 25 arrows,
yeah,
basic math, that's more than
enough. None
of them
have shields, and he's higher than the rest. So.
Fucking
and
gamer
that,
logic.
And that...
I don't know about gamer logic. That's just me.
Era of longbow, that... I've watched the History Channel on
those
things.
Those are laminated.
Some range.
No, those are laminated with cloth yard arrows. And
but they still had a lot of range.
They actually did about 40 pounds. They weren't very good bows.
Yumis?
Yeah.
Yumi is an amazing bow.
Not
did
those.
A lot of study on the Yumi. It's significantly more powerful than that.
No, 40 pounds, man.
Okay, we're going to have to compare some texts later.
Okay.
I'll pull out my texts, and you pull out your texts, and we'll do comparisons. I studied this for at least recently, but again, I'm not an expert. I'm just a bald white guy who's really into this subject matter.
Oh, actually, no. I had a quick look real on traditional archery bows, the Japanese Yumi. In modern Kyudo, the draw weight is usually around 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. And Japanese Yumi versus English longbow.
English longbows and... significantly superior bow.
Well, not to say that they had better wood. They didn't have all these scrubby little pines to draw from, you know?
Yeah.
Or maple.
Okay, so by the 3rd century BC, the bow length had grown to nearly 2 meters, and a war bow that had a draw weight of 80 to 150 pounds, contrary to the modern belief of 50 to 70 pounds.
For?
The Yumi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, 3rd century BC.
Yeah, it might have been though.
80 to 150. But
they
that's 3rd century
like that
BC, and this is set in 1844. Yeah. So.
Keep in mind that samurai specifically were trained to fight with bows from horseback.
Yeah.
So it needed to be something that could be fired quickly
yeah.
and steadily.
Small little bows.
Small bows. Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah, I don't care. I don't care about winning that argument. I really don't.
I was just.
I don't really
I
have
was,
a stake in it.
Yeah. I was curious. I was curious to like, because.
You ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
Wait, we're all singing a different song, aren't we?
Okay. Well,
three
we are...
aging white dudes.
Yeah. Three really lame white dudes.
Now, if you give it to the Pirate's Cove, I guarantee I'm stealing it.
That is my next project. I got a new Levi's or whatever jacket.
Yeah.
Cut the arms off. You know, I've always... wanted a punk rock vest, and now that I'm old, I'm going to fucking have one.
Yeah, knock yourself out. I mean, I think punk rock began and ended with No Effects, so you can't really ask me about anything. I don't know punk.
Ended? They're still around.
Oh, I like poking fun at young punkers in my bar.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. First off.
I never see punkers in your bar.
Yeah, most of them work there.
No, I mean as patrons.
Oh yeah, they come in every now and then, but then I drop that and they
I
never
see
come
hipsters.
Back.
When I was in my mid twenties. Oh my god, how old am I? When I was in my mid twenties, I had one and a half foot purple mohawk. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of work, and that's why I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, I've I subscribe to the SLC punk theory of punk.
That's such a good movie.
Which is the punkest guy you know is usually in slacks.
I actually know. I know a role-playing game based on that movie.
Nice.
Yeah. Essentially.
I'd like to see the statistic for running with a pocket full of acid through sprinklers. I really would.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that table?
Oh, man. Yeah, SLC Punk was fun. I liked the whole message at the end. Like,
yeah.
It was...
There's a sequel to that movie, too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Well... didn't need a sequel.
One of my favorite lines in the universe is from that movie where he's going out to visit the world and he's like, what do you think's out there? Freedom. Freedom. And he's like, people, cars, houses. Fuck. What'd you think was out there, man?
Yeah.
It's all the same. Very
it's
depressing.
All the same. Yeah.
But Matthew Lillard is amazing. And he was my favorite Scooby.
What happened to him?
He's still doing his thing. He's just not as popular. He's not an it character anymore, and he's heavy on like Instagram and social media. But
yeah, because I really liked him as an actor, not just because we share the best name in the planet. But
that's your opinion. But it's the wrong opinion.
Personally, I think the best name is Benedict. It's just an awesome name.
Just an awesome name.
Unless your last name's Arnold.
Well, people always say that, but that name existed for many years before and for many years after that one unfortunate person.
Yeah.
No, but he's heavy on like social media, and he does his thing, and he's an activist, and
ew,
gotten kind of pudgy.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, whatever.
You know, I really like.
No, I meant the Hollywood activist crap. I hate that shit.
Well, I don't. I think a lot of it is like, hey, I want to do this, but I don't have the money to do this. But my job now permits me to be an activist. So I sometimes, I think activists like that are in Hollywood ride that fence. Like either it's cool to be an activist, or I now have the money to actually be an activist.
I just tend to listen to experts. Are you a climate scientist?
Well,
yes,
that.
I will listen to you. Are you not? Shut the fuck up.
Do you
up.
Believe the world is flat or round?
I have a fun story about that. I dated this gal who was a big fan of the show Supernatural. And on Supernatural, one of the characters in the mid to later seasons is he's an angel named Castiel. Mm-hmm. Well, the actor who plays that character is actually a really cool and really interested in both activism and social work. And he does these yearly trips to go do social work and construction in the ruins of Haiti. But he does it because he's into it. Now, he runs these programs where people who are really into him can pay a lot of money to go do it with him. And
That's kind of cool.
His fans will pay money to go join him on this.
That's way better than being just a jabbering talking head.
But the best part is, some of the fans think they're just going to go hang out with this guy for like a week.
It's like, no, get
and
to
then
work.
They get there and it's like, all right, send to work, let's go. And they're like, what?
No.
So that
there's a shovel.
I like that attitude. I like that whole. I'm really going to do this, and in fact, you're going to pay me money so you can do it too.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, I think that actors are kind of in the best spot to be activists, because they have the public image and they have the money.
Yeah.
I'd rather them be doing activism for a good cause than having a gold-plated swimming pool.
Yeah, I just miss the time where, I mean, if the athlete wasn't good enough, you literally tossed him to the lions. Mm. Yeah. I tend to go to experts for advice and opinions. I don't want to know what the average or famous person thinks. I want to know what an expert thinks. Someone who has studied the minutiae of the problem.
That's cool. If they have experts behind them, what about then? Like, what if they're working for a good cause, putting their fame to get other people?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
On
the climate. Because he has like a lot of experts behind him, and he puts a lot of money to climate awareness.
Well, if he said, hi, my name's Leonardo DiCaprio, and here's a guy in a lab coat, and then he shut the fuck up, I would listen.
What about your favorite actor and his methods to clean up the Gulf Coast after the oil spill?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I honestly don't. That's not me dodging a bullet. What are his methods to clean up the Gulf Coast after the...
He invented, like, a cool device, which removes oil from water.
Then I would say he should become an inventor and never touch acting again. And good on him for finding his true calling.
I'll go with that. I will accept that as your...
Stay the fuck out of movies, you suck. You're so bad.
The olive branch of sorts.
Oh, God.
It's just... I mean, there are go-no-go moments in someone's career. And one of them is a twang when you say, when I killed the sheriff's man.
When I killed the sheriff's man.
From medieval England, you ass. Oh, you started watching that Robin Hood thing, right?
It's really good.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
surprisingly
once you
good.
Get apart the tight jeans on Robin Hood, it's okay.
It's CW hipster, does Robin hipster, Hood.
It is.
But,
he is a little hipster.
Well, look, they're doing what? Riverdale also. I mean, isn't that one of their other shows of Archie and Jughead?
It's on Netflix. The new edgy CWI.
You're looking at me like, what the fuck?
The Archies.
Yeah.
It's called Riverdale.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious.
Hollywood, get your shit together.
I'll tell you something else.
It's like the whole first season's out and done. I'll
tell you something else. It's actually pretty good.
I will nope that shit from space.
Here's another one. Have you seen The 100?
No.
Okay. Let me tell you about my experience with The 100. So The 100 is a post-apocalyptic survival drama.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing this.
Where
yeah,
it starts off on a space station where society on Earth has ended. And the space station's pretty cool. So it starts on the space station, and then they're like, okay, we're going to send all of our teenagers to Earth to get rid of them because we're running out of supplies, but also to see, because we'll see, you know, they're annoying. But if they live, then we'll know that we can come down too.
How big is the space station?
It's
like, if you would guess a population.
It's not Babylon 5 size. It's not Deep Space Nine size. Smaller.
Thousand?
A couple thousand, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. That's a viable option, then.
They have severe supply crisis. Anyway, they send the teenagers down. So the story starts off with a bunch of pretty CW teenagers from space repopulating Earth.
That could just be the title of a show right there. And CW teenagers from space.
So everybody was like, you need to watch this show, dude. You need to watch this show. And I'm like, dude, it's fucking teenagers. I hate teenagers. They're annoying. Especially their drama.
But if you're listening to this and you're a teenager, you're actually not annoying and we love you very much.
We
go
love
ahead.
You very much.
So
just keep your bullshit
so
out of my life.
So much.
So I'm watching this show.
Every part
and
of you.
They're like,
whoa.
I hate to. I'm watching this show. I'm watching the first episode. I was like, I fucking hate all of these people. I hate them all. And they're so pretty. And their makeup is perfect. And I hate them all. Next. Second episode. God damn, I hate all these people. But actually, that guy's pretty cool. So, you know, you get into that. All right. Oh, yeah. God damn it, I fucking hate him.
Next.
Next. By the end of the third episode, this is
you're invested
really good
at that point.
The third episode, suddenly the story starts. And you're like, okay, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because we're talking about CW dramas, but also it's a really good show, and it never does what you think it's going to do. And the people
I like that,
change.
Actually. I like that a lot because I've seen enough and been involved in like the back side of enough productions that I can just get where a storyline is going, and when I get surprised, I love it.
The characters all grow. None of them, you cannot read whatever you think about them in the first couple episodes gets changes. So I was really impressed with that. Yeah.
Anyone watch The Punisher?
I've seen bits and pieces when I've come to hang out at your club.
It's really good.
Really?
I heard it was shit.
No, it's good. It's gory and it's bloody and it's visceral.
Okay, cool.
And it's not a super.
Is it better than Fistman? Or
Fistman.
What was the really bad one?
Iron Fist?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I heard that was
but
just
it is
garbage.
It was way better than his character in Daredevil. It's not the quasi.
I'm gonna fuck you up, you motherfuckers.
It's
Casey Jones.
Yeah, and he's not the spandex Kevlar wearing superhero that he was in the comics either.
And the quasi 90s cartoon.
Yeah, I actually really like it.
Yeah,
it's very good. It deals with some really good issues,
which
I think get swept under a lot. There's this current trend in like social media and everything that every fighter and everyone in the army is a mindless Myrmidon. And that really makes me sick and it makes me angry. Mm-hmm. And I like watching a lot of the aftermath of the cause of the things we do out in the world.
I could have sworn that one of you was complaining about PTSD Punisher in a prior episode.
I'm sure that was me.
Okay. So I think
it
was.
Yeah. I think it was in the bonus content from the last one. Okay.
It took me a while to warm to it because the Punisher was Frank Castle with slick back hair, and he did have a super suit.
Yeah.
And I actually find that I like this new one better.
Yeah.
Nut went down my throat too far.
That's what she said. I can't help it. I know.
I kind of that one.
That was well-timed.
The nut went down your throat too far. Oh, shit, his mascara's running and everything. That really works for me.
There was a night at the club that one of the...
Wait, what?
There was a night at the club that one of the... That something was said just offhandedly by a customer, and one of the dancers was like, and that's why I don't swallow. And I was like...
Sounds like my place, yeah.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum,
is this a Carter?
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
That's an armband.
Okay.
Yeah, it's from a game convention I went to.
Flash!
No, that's not...
Carter!
No.
Queen of the Bottle.
That's more Shazammed. Or, well, who's Shazam's nemesis?
I don't know. I only like good supers.
Shazam's just Superman in a kid's body.
Did you ever read Kingdom Come?
Oh, that's so good.
It's DC Comics. It is a one-shot graphic novel that takes place in the future. Batman's like really old.
So Superman
left. And anyway, Shazam is the villain.
Honestly.
And it's really good.
My experience with DC like is really basic. It's basically Frank Miller's Batman with a smattering of Superman thrown in. And that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that DC shines in the graphic novels. Yeah.
And I hear on their television shows also, like their DC universe is good on.
I haven't watched any of them
on their episodes, but the movies.
What do they do?
There's
Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, yeah.
I'm talking
Flash.
Yeah, the Flash.
I heard that was bad.
Again, they're CW stuff mostly, so it's kind of anyway.
We just spilled some old granddad on the party map.
Quick, get a straw.
Snort it.
I mean, I wasn't going to go that far, but I'm not going to tell you can't.
It'll just clean off.
Yeah, it'll clean. It might smell of
this is technically a wet erase map.
And dissolved dreams.
So the Pirate's Cove, right?
Well, he's not wrong.
Matthew nods his head.
No, that was duct tape and broken dreams for the longest time.
$5,000. But would it be solid enough to beat a zombie down with?
So maybe not. When I lived at Georgia Tech, I didn't go there. I just lived there. I lived at a fraternity on Georgia Tech campus.
How do you live in a fraternity but not go to Georgia Tech?
They had a frat house and they were kind of broke.
Oh,
so they
okay.
needed people to board in their rooms. And I met them at Dragon Con. It's a long story. It changed my life.
Okay.
Through those people, I ended up meeting a whole bunch of stoners. And one of them was like alumnus, Georgia Tech engineer. Stoner. He had rigged this entire bathroom as a walk-in bong.
People have too much spare time on
their
hands.
You sit on the toilet, you turn a knob.
Oh my god.
You have to fill the tub with water. But basically you turn a knob and it opens a chute and then opens the pathway. So now the tub is the bong and you just sit in there and hotbox. That the little light switch that turns on that fan that cycles the air through so whatever. Yep. The whole thing, hotbox.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. We would just go and hang out. This is totally getting.
I had a friend in Phoenix that was want to regale me every once in a while, and I don't know why. He told this to a lot of people about how many times per day he would masturbate. Okay, like 8, 9, 10 times a day. And I told him
that sounds about right. That sounds healthy.
I told him once, if you put into your other endeavors the amount of energy that you put into jerking off every day, there would be no end to the things that you could do. I'm saying that same thing to your friend.
Yeah.
The amount of energy that he put into turning a bathroom into a bong, I mean, an entire bathroom into a bong, he probably could have, like, solved cancer, put us on Mars.
It was a very nice bathroom.
Like,
bong.
Complete wireless recharging for everything around the world, a la Tesla. Your friend needs to get his priorities straight, or hers.
Blumpkin.
B-L-U-M-P-K-I-N. Oh, my God.
There it is.
Wow, that is a thing.
What is it?
Why don't you read it out loud?
I thought I made this
I will read this out loud. Blumpkin is defined by UrbanDictionary.com. as the delicately balanced art of getting your cock sucked while taking a dump. That is a blumpkin.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
now
is.
There is something also called a blumpkin pie.
Ooh, that sounds nasty. I don't. Maybe we should make that into a pizza.
Hey, Turtle them. Power Pod, what do you think, man?
We can convince them that it was mentioned in one of the episodes.
So the
the lost episode of the Ninja Turtles.
So, oh my god.
God, hopefully lost.
So that is this. It's the same thing,
Only the feces produced during this event is known as the Blumpkin Pie. As in, that Blumpkin Pie after Thanksgiving dinner was really delicious. I think it had some corn in it.
This is... this is a no.
This is great outtake stuff now.
I don't think this is outtakes. I think this is the main goddamn event. And I'm about to drink to it. To Blumpkin Pie.
To Blumpkin Pie.
Just clink with
huzzah.
It.
Huzzah.
Here. Clink.
Clunk.
Blump, blump.
Jesus. The important thing with making a crunch is to kind of open the mouth and inflate the cheeks so that you get a good cave effect, like...
If you're going to crunch, man, crunch away from the mic.
Thanks for listening to another episode of our show. We're a new name in the enormous sea of podcasts and appreciate any feedback that you can send our way. If you like what you've heard, or even if you didn't, please leave us a review and let us know. Got a movie or a game that you want to hear us talk about? Drop us a comment on our website at havemovieswillgame.com or hit us up on any of the usual social networks. We'd love to hear from you. The opening theme music is Rock and Gravel by Sid Valentine's Patent Leather Kids, part of the public domain and found on publicdomain4u.com. Opening narration is provided by Isaac Scher. Have Movies Will Game is distributed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next week.